Kia ora, welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 295. Today is Friday, January 25, 2013. And today, we're waiting. Yes, I'm going to tell you about that first today. I have some updates about things going on in the news. I also accomplished something for podcasters. I'll talk about that all today and other bits and pieces, I'm sure, along the way. We are waiting, probably first and foremost, because it's a holiday weekend, and that means 3 days off, which is always a good thing. Monday is Auckland Anniversary Day, and as longtime listeners will remember, that the anniversary days refer to the 19th century provinces that existed in New Zealand. They're long since gone, but the tradition of observing a regional holiday, a public holiday, still lingers on. So the Auckland province was basically the entire northwestern part of New Zealand, and including Coromandel and Northland, as well as Auckland, all that sort of area. And that is on Monday. So that is a public holiday. Nigel has the day off, of course. But we're going to be doing things around the house because we're getting ready to put the house back on the market, potentially. And, well, first things first. One of the things that means is that on Wednesday or Thursday of next week, I'm not sure which, we have a roofer coming who's going to put metal caps on the parapets. Now, I've talked about the parapets too much, and also about the options for taking care of it. And after long consideration and consultations and all that sort of stuff, we decided that the best thing to do was to cap them. And essentially what that means is there's metal that comes down in the front about 100 mils, wraps over the top and back down the other side, and then there's metal that goes all the way down to the roof on the back side of it so that water can't get in. And this is always done now whenever parapets are put in a building. And sometimes parapets are just used to make a roof look flat when it actually does have a pitched roof hiding behind it. And sometimes even they're just balcony railings. And I noticed that there were some old stores that were built in Thames about 100 years ago. Thames is, of course, at the bottom of the Firth of Thames, sort of southeast-ish of Auckland. And those all have capping on the front of the parapets, which is basically what their false storefronts are, false fronts on these things are. And so, you know, if it's good enough for a 100-year-old building, it's good enough for one that's 10 years old. So, like I said, that's what is done nowadays on parapets, and that's what we're having done to ours. But in addition to that, we've got a guy coming in to clean up the section. Behind the house, we never go there because it's difficult to get to, and part of it was clear probably when they built the house, and then behind that is bush. And but the weeds come up really pretty vigorously in the part immediately behind the house. So about once a year we have somebody come in with brush cutters basically to cut it all back. We also have a flannel leaf growing back there, which is also known as woolly nightshade, and sometimes people call it tobacco plant because it's very similar to tobacco plant, probably because it's related, but it is it's rather large, so we're going to have it professionally removed. It is a poisonous plant. It's actually more poisonous than deadly nightshade. A lot of people don't know that, be that as it may. So that's going to go. I'll just have a general tidy up. But of course, last year we did most of what we needed to do to get the house ready to sell, so we don't have as much to do this year. It's just basically putting things back in order. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on this weekend. Now, you know, the other day, must have been Tuesday, I think, we put an offer on a house. It's a house that we've looked at, I think, four times over the past couple of months. And we quite like it. I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail because we're going to find out today whether or not we were successful or not. And my gut feeling is that we won't be. Now, I could be wrong, but that's my gut feeling. And if we're not, I don't know that we're actually going to go on the market when we finish all these little jobs. We might hold off for a while. And the reason is that the realtor that we've been working with for our properties and most of our house searches mentioned to us the other day that there are normally 3,200 properties available in a given month, or this time of year anyway. And last month, it must have been, there were 1,200. So that means that there aren't that many available, and yet the demand is really quite strong. So that means that people are selling, and they're getting good prices, and they're selling relatively quickly, sometimes very quickly, in a week or less. And that's very good for people who are selling. But then what do you buy if there's not that much available? And there's precious little available in the sorts of things that interest us. And what we don't want to do is end up having sold and having to find a place, not being able to find anything we like, and then either having to come up with some scenario where we rent or where I live with Nigel's mom and Nigel stays up here during the week and comes down on the weekend or something stupid like that. We want to be able to do it on our terms. So if we're not successful with this house that we want to buy, then it is entirely possible that we won't sell either. Or we might go on the market anyway and just hope for the best. Who knows? It's all up in the air, and a lot of it rides on the outcome of this house that we decided we wanted to try to buy. And I'm not going to say, like I said, I'm not going to say any more about that until I know that it's real or not, because there's no point, is there? So, that should be happening sometime early this afternoon with any luck, we'll hear, and then we'll take it from there. So that's what we are waiting on and waiting and waiting and waiting. I have some updates on some things in the New Zealand news, and I put three of them together in a blog post I called Grumpy Kiwi, because there are things about New Zealand politics that really irritated me. It's all about what conservatives are up to. And so I just put them all together with links to the articles I'm talking about and so on, so you can check it for yourself. And I'll put a link to my blog post in the show notes to this episode. But one of them is about irrigation in New Zealand. I know that sounds very exciting, except what got me was that this chairman of this group, pressure group called Irrigation New Zealand, said, and this is a direct quote, "For many years, farmers have personally carried the cost of water infrastructure, which can run into the millions of dollars, yet benefits regional economies enormously." And my response to that was, hang on a minute, who paid for that? Because the reality is that the government, using taxpayer money, paid for the dams that made large-scale irrigation in places like Canterbury possible. And ratepayers, which are local property taxpayers, paid for regional and local products. And a lot of those ratepayers aren't even farmers. Now, it's true that farmers did pay through their rates, and they paid for development of water resources on their land. But it's not honest to say that they paid for all of the irrigation schemes in the entire country, and oh, we should all be so grateful to them for having done so. No, that's not the way it is. Taxpayers have helped farmers, not the other way around. So I was really irritated by that. And then the current national government has been having one failure after another. And so they decided to do something unusual instead, because it's far easier than dealing with the hard problems ordinary New Zealanders have to face every day. And so I was not very, very nice to them. And then finally, the marriage equality, the parliamentary subcommittee hearing the marriage equality bill held hearings for public submissions in Auckland this week. And we had the usual suspects. We had our religious wing nuts come out to talk about it. And it included some Pacifica peoples, representatives of Tongan Methodist Church, who said things were really bizarre. And also a Samoan mother of three who said things that were also silly. And I took them all to task, including the religious wingnuts, the usual suspects, as I call them. And so that's all in that blog post. If you want to know about what's going on in New Zealand politics, with some current stories, you can go check that out. However, the big international story in New Zealand this week, huge international story, the biggest national story we've had so far this year, around the world, is that New Zealand wants to wipe out cats. And that's not true. This is the first part of that blog post called Cat Fight. It says, no, New Zealand is not about to ban cats. No, it's not a thing. Yes, there really are serious issues, but no, they won't get discussed. And the gist of it is that an economist called Gareth Morgan set up a website called Cats to Go, where it has headline or whatever that says, "That little ball of fluff you own is a natural-born killer. Every year, cats in New Zealand destroy our native wildlife. The fact is that cats have to go if we really care about our environment." And so I go on to talk about that and about where he's right and where he's wrong, and also the fact that it is actually true that he is calling for killing cats, because it's the inescapable conclusion of what he wants to do. And but the important thing, the takeaway message from this, is that nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to happen. No one takes him seriously. No one takes his proposal seriously. And the pity is that the element of truth in what he says is going to get lost in this debate as all the cat lovers come out and attack him, and they have done so, I assure you. But Gareth is a curmudgeon, and as I put it on my blog, he often coughs up rhetorical furballs that roil up people for no apparent reason. And so he does this sort of thing all the time, and it's just par for the course for him, but it is absolutely, totally, and completely irrelevant. And the only reason it's getting any coverage in the news in New Zealand is because there's nothing else going on now with Parliament in recess. And a lot of people refer to this as the silly season. Typically, people refer to the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, as the silly season because people eat and drink too much and do silly things. Well, some people have started calling this part of the year the silly season because the news media focuses on non-stories, non-issues, and blows them all out of proportion and makes them a much bigger deal than they really are. But this story got picked up by the AP, and I know I saw it on Yahoo News, and I saw it on Huffington Post, and ABC Australia picked it up, I know, because Scotty the Little Aussie Battler sent me the link, and it's probably been other places as well. But it is not worth paying that much attention to, because, as I said, nothing is going to come of it. Although I have to say that when I saw it, I thought to myself, oh no, not again, because the stories about New Zealand that generally make international news are the stupid things, where something outrageous has happened or somebody said something outrageous and people think, oh my God, is that the way it really is in New Zealand? No. New Zealanders are practical, common sense people, and we just have a few people who mouth off about things from time to time, like every other country does. But for some reason, maybe it's because international journalists don't know anything about New Zealand, they take it too seriously. But trust me, don't take this one seriously. Now, I talked about changing hosting for the podcast, and the short answer is nothing's come of that yet. I've started investigating some options. I looked at the host used by Scotty, the Little Aussie Battler, and I've looked at some others suggested to me, but I've gotten no further than I was last time I mentioned it. Tim Carmel of the Tim Carmel Show has given me some suggestions on ways to proceed, and ultimately that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not in any hurry. The web hosting for Amron's podcast doesn't expire until May. And although Too Political expires next month, I decided I'm going to go ahead and renew it with GoDaddy for now while I look for a solution probably that encompasses everything, because right now they're completely separate accounts and I might as well combine them. And so I will report back to that for those who are interested. But the reality is it doesn't affect anybody but me, because the podcast will be delivered in the exact same way it is now. Anyone who subscribes, however they get it, will get it in the exact same way because the RSS feed won't change. And so it's just a matter of waiting and seeing what where it ends up going. And it's probably not interesting to most people, but it is to me, and that's what counts, isn't it? Now, I also, of course, last time spent a lot of time talking about alternate ways of leaving voice messages, now that my voice line is dead. And I have to say, I didn't actually make this clear enough, I don't think, last time. I thought that of the options, probably the best sound quality, and this was surprising to me, was SpeakPipe. And Bank sending through the GarageBand one was equally as good, partly because I was able to manipulate the sound myself. The worst was probably Audio Boo, but SpeakPipe was really quite good. I did say, however, that I thought that they were going to be charging at some point. Well, as if by magic, just yesterday I got an email from them saying that on March 1st they go out of beta and they will start charging. There will be a free account and then two higher cost ones by subscription. The lowest subscription is $5 a month. I presume that's $5 US a month. And that's really quite expensive. That's more than it would cost to have a Skype phone number. Sorry, they used to call it the Skype In. That's why I always hesitate. And but it's still that would be of course a phone number, which is kind of defeats the whole purpose of this experiment. And my big complaint though is the free account allowed 30 seconds messages. And I emailed the guy back and I said, well, if it's only 30 seconds, there's no point having it. Because podcasts, because he knows I'm a podcaster, podcasts have their comment things so that people can leave voice comments. And 30 seconds, we don't just have, call me back, which is, you can't do much more in 30 seconds than that. And so we need to have more time. And so he emailed me back, much to his credit, fairly quickly too, and said they realized that was a mistake, and so they'd upped it to 1 minute, which is better, but it's still not great. And he said they were considering 90 seconds or perhaps even 2 minutes, but the trade-off would be they could only have the account on one website. And I said, well, for me personally, that's not an issue, and it probably wouldn't be for most independent podcasters because they want it for one site. They want to know that the comment is coming from that site. And so I don't think that would necessarily be a big issue. And so I don't know what's going to come of that, but I was appalled to see that it was only going to be 30 seconds, and it's now a minute, which is definitely an improvement, heading in the right direction, and it might actually be 2 minutes by the time we're done, or a minute and a half anyway, with a bit of luck. So we'll see how it goes. But one of the things that's better about them than the old voicemail system I had is that it's at a much higher bit rate, which is one of the reasons why the sound quality is better. That is what I've done for podcasting kind just this week. One last thing before we go. We had two events this week. Monday, of course, was my birthday here in New Zealand. It was Tuesday in the U.S., but whatever. And so we celebrated that by going out to dinner on Monday. And then Nigel and I celebrated my U.S. birthday by going out to dinner on Tuesday. I see no reason why I shouldn't celebrate my birthday in two time zones because I was born in one and I live in the other. It makes perfect sense to me, I think. So that's what we did this week. And actually, I have a little snippet of another podcast to play at this point.
Dear Gussie, y'all, today the 21th of January, 2013, y'all, is the celebration of exiting the birth canal of someone down there in the future. You know, this may be the most future of all of the listeners to the little show, y'all. It is, it's probably going to get to him a day late. But, y'all, you know, it's the thought that counts, and I am recording this on the 20th, a big Freddy, that whole time zone thing just fucks me up, kind of like that Chianti. Well, you're right, but y'all, it is the celebration of the exiting of the birth canal for the one and only Arthur, y'all. That's the Amerins from down there in the New Zealand, and y'all, He's nearly as old as Big Fatty, but not quite, y'all, because, you know, and, you know, there's really only one person that is older than Big Fatty, and we won't mention those names. Big Fatty, it's probably best. But anyway, so Arthur, I hope you have a lovely birthday. And Big Fatty, do you think Nigel will make him a kiwi cake?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm pretty damn sure there'll be wine. Yes, Big Fatty!
Well, thanks for that, Big Fatty. And as it happens, he recorded that on my birthday, because he said he recorded it on the 20th. He recorded it when it was my birthday here, and he released it when it was my birthday there. So he actually had a dual time zone birthday observance as well. So thank you for that, Big Fatty. There was, however, no Tanqueray and Tonic and Two Limes involved in the birthday celebrations, as Big Fatty so correctly noted. There was wine involved. Rather a lot of wine involved. But that's the way it goes. Yes, so I had a very good birthday. But I said that there were two events. The other event, well, it wasn't just two birthday celebrations. The other event was that yesterday, the 24th, was the fourth anniversary of the day that Nigel and I got our civil union. So that was another anniversary that all happened about the same time, because, as you may recall, longtime listeners, my 50th birthday was originally going to be celebrated on Saturday the 24th, because it's more convenient for family and friends, and that was also Auckland anniversary weekend. But then we decided to tack on the civil union. That's really how it came about. And so it all was tied together. And so my birthday is close to the anniversary of our civil union, but not on the same day, which is a good thing. I don't ever think that you should combine events like that, literally, have them on the exact same day. It's like people, but anyway. So, yes, that was all going on. But thank you very much for that, Big Fatty. It was very kind of you to, and Poodle McNoodle, to include that in your little show. That is it for today, though. That is it for this week. I'll be back next week with something or other. Have a great weekend. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.